There, I'll turn my microphone on. Good morning, church. We want to welcome each and every one of you here, especially our visitors. I'm a visitor just like you all. I get to visit here the first Sabbath of every month. Come here and speak to you all. And it's a great blessing. Also, my wife had to give the children's story this morning. And I'll tell you what, it's amazing that she got up here and did it. But I used to be like that too. I really did. You would not catch me up in front of a group. And then about 6 years ago at the Oklahoma camp meeting, I felt convicted, and I told the Lord, I said, if you want me to speak, a church is going to have to call me. I'm not going to volunteer, but the church has got to call me. Before we left camp meeting that week, two churches called and asked me to start speaking. And I've been speaking here now the first Sabbath for 3 or 4 years, I guess. So, but I love it. Is this the first time you've been in the Kimberling City Church? First time? You'll receive a blessing being here, I promise you. The people here will love you with everything they've got. And we pray that you'll come back again next time you're in Branson. And again, I'm just a layman. I am not a pastor, never have been a pastor. But it's just the Lord has given me the will and the power to be able to come and speak. Again, like I said, I used to be one of these that sat behind and did not say anything. Wouldn't speak out in Sabbath school even. It was just me. I want to open up with a quote from Testimonies to the Church, volume 6, page 337. It says there, of all the gifts that God has bestowed upon men, none is more precious than the gift of speech. It starts the next sentence with a little small word. It says, if. If sanctified by the Holy Spirit, it is a power for good. It is the tongue that we convince and persuade. With it, we offer prayer. We offer praise to God. And with it, we convey rich thoughts of the Redeemer's love. By a right use of the gift of speech, the canvasser can sow the precious seeds of truth in many hearts. And this is from volume 6 of the Testimonies, page 337. Now, the gift of speech is the use of our tongue. And it's a powerful gift that He has given us. With it, we're able to witness to those around us. We're able to witness to them the love that God has for each one of them. We can lift up people with our voice, with our tongues. We can encourage them. But if we are not empowered by the Holy Spirit, it is the Holy Spirit that gives us the power. If we do not have the power of the Holy Spirit prompting us and guiding us and leading us, it's also a way of tearing people down. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, as we open your word now, as we come into this service, we invite your Holy Spirit to be in our midst. I invite the Holy Spirit to anoint me, Father. I ask that the Holy Spirit will anoint the ears of those that are listening this morning, that the words that I speak, that you may give them the words that you want them to hear. And I want to praise you, Father, for being a loving God, and that you will be with us during this service this morning. Thank you for hearing and answering our prayers, for we ask it in the precious name of Christ. Amen. We're going to be looking at a topic this morning that has touched each and every one of us, and it's the power of the tongue. We're going to be looking in the book of James. The book of James is a book that I enjoy reading, along with many of the other books that Paul has written. Besides James, which James was the brother, was assumed to be the brother of Christ. And this epistle from James doesn't mince words at all. He confronts us with the destructive potential residing within this member of our mouth, the tongue. We're going to explore what it truly means to call it a tongue of fire. We're also going to look at how we can harness its power for good rather than allowing it to ignite chaos and destruction. If you would, open your Bibles to James chapter 3. We're going to be beginning by reading of verses 1 through 8. And we will look at the whole chapter of James chapter 3. We'll be reading about the untamable tongue in verses 1 through 8. And I've taken this from the Message Bible. It says, "Don't be in any rush to become a teacher, my friends. Teaching is a highly responsible work. Teachers are held to the strictest standards, and none of us is perfectly qualified. We get it wrong nearly every time we open our mouths. If you could find someone whose speech was perfectly true, you'd have a perfect person and in perfect control of life." Verses 3 through 5 talks about the bit of a mouth, how it controls the whole church or the whole horse. It talks about the small rudder of a huge ship, where a skilled captain can set course in face of the strongest winds. It says a word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything, or it can destroy. Verses 5 and 6, it only takes a spark to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that also. By our speech, we can ruin the world. We can turn harmony to chaos. We can throw mud on a reputation. We can send the whole world up in smoke, and going up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell. Sorry, I lost my place. Okay, James here is reminding us that with the increased influence that we have an increased responsibility. That's what he was talking about with the teachers. Here in these verses, he's using vivid imagery to illustrate the power of the tongue. He compared it to the rudder. The small rudder on a ship He talked about the spark that can ignite a vast forest fire. Think about it. A single careless word that we may speak, one thoughtless comment that we may have, can set in motion a chain of events with devastating consequences. How many times have you seen a small misunderstanding escalate into a full-blown argument? It's fueled by harsh words, unchecked emotions, and yet it can even happen in a church. How many relationships have been damaged, even destroyed, by the careless use of the tongue? James is not exaggerating when he calls the tongue a restless evil. He calls it a pit full of evil. He highlights the danger in our speech. He highlights the constant need for vigilance and self-control in the things that we speak sometimes. James says the tongue is untamable. No human being can perfectly control it. I don't say this to bring words of discouragement to you, but to encourage us. Encourage us that we have to rely on God's grace. We have to rely on God's power, the power of the Holy Spirit. We need assistance to be able to bridle our tongues and to use them for His glory. You know, many times a forest fire will get started by a small cigarette that has been discarded out the window. It can cause immense damage. But think about the small word that may come out of a mouth, may come off the tip of a tongue. It can be a harsh word that ruins a reputation. Let's continue in James 3. We'll look at verses 9 through 12. It says there in verse 9, with our tongues we bless God our Father. But with that same tongue, we curse the very men and women that God created. Curses and blessings come out of this same mouth. We can't let this go on. A spring doesn't gush fresh water one day. I think of some of the big springs that we have here in Missouri. The fresh springs and the millions of gallons of water that they produce every hour comes forth from it. It doesn't one day decide it's going to create a terrible water that comes out, like our mouths some do sometimes. James goes on in the chapter, it says, apple trees don't bear strawberries. Raspberries don't bear apples. You're not going to dip into a mudded hole and get a cup of clear, cool water on a hot day. James is pointing out the hypocrisy of us praising God with our tongue, and the next moment we curse our fellow human beings who were made in God's image. With our tongues we praise God, and with it we curse human beings that have been made in His likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. It's not right, brothers and sisters. It's a stark reminder of the inconsistency that can plague our lives. We can be filled with righteous zeal in a moment, but then we're spewing venom the next moment. James used the analogy of a spring, that it cannot pronounce cool, refreshing water and then brackish water on top of it. Our words should be consistent with our faith. Our speech should reflect the love and the grace of God that dwells within us. Let's continue on in James 3 about wisdom and the tongue. In verses 13 through 18, it says, "Do you want to be counted wise? Do you want to build a reputation for wisdom? Here's what you do. Live well, live wisely, live humbly. It's the way you live, not the way you talk, that counts. Mean-spirited ambition isn't wisdom. Boasting that you're wise isn't wisdom neither. Twisting the truth to make yourself sound wise isn't wisdom. It's the furthest thing from wisdom." Goes on and says, "It's animal cunning, devilish plotting. Whenever you're trying to look better than others or get the better of others, things fall apart. And everyone ends up at each other's throats." Verses 17 and 18, real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life. It's characterized by getting along with others. It's a gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings. Not hot one day and cold the next. It's not two-faced. It says you can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoy its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other. Treating each other with dignity and honor. We see here in these verses, James is contrasting the wisdom that comes from above with the earthly, the unspiritual wisdom that leads to envy, selfish ambition, and disorder. The way we use our tongues will be evident of the true wisdom, the wisdom that we have in our actions. Verse 13 in the King James Version reads it this way: "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." The wisdom comes from God. It's characterized by gentleness. It's peace. It comes to a willingness to listen. It seeks to build up, not tear down. It speaks truth in love, and it's slow to anger. This kind of wisdom is essential for taming the tongue and using it for good. Proverbs, we're going to look at a few verses in Proverbs. Proverbs gives so much insight. Proverbs 18, verse 21, it offers further insight into the tongue. It says, "The tongue has the power of life and death. We can bring encouragement from the tongue. We can bring healing and hope. Also, with the tongue, we can inflict pain. We can inflict despair, destruction with our words that come from this member." Another Proverbs, Proverbs 16, verse 24. Proverbs 16, 24 says this: "Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." Are your words like honeycomb? Do they bring sweetness and health to those around you? Proverbs 25, verse 15. Some more words about the tongue. 25, verse 15, the Proverbs, it says, by long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. These underscore the profound impact our words have not only on ourselves, but on others as well. Can you imagine the effect of our patience and a gentle speech can have on our interactions with others? If we were to get physical with someone, we can break bones. Our harsh words can cause irreparable damage to a relationship that we have. Another proverb, Proverbs 12, verse 18, says, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Do we sometimes speak words of reckless pierce? May our words be a tongue of the wise. It's a powerful verse. It tells us the impact of our words that they can have on others. This verse should encourage us to reflect on the way we communicate with those around us. Do we speak without considering the impact that our words are going to have on those who we're talking with? Do we choose our words carefully? You know, the words that we use have the potential to bring healing and peace to others, or it can bring destruction. Let us be mindful of the power of our words and understanding through our speech that we have with others. Ephesians 4, verse 29, this came from the scripture reading this morning. King James Version says this, says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Think about it. Do my words add value to those around me? Do I choose to uplift and encourage others with my voice, with my speech? I hope that we will strive to be a source of positivity and a support through these words that we speak to others. Think about the impact that you can have on others by choosing to speak words of kindness, words of encouragement and affirmation. Colossians 4, verse 6 tells us, let your conversation always be full of grace. Let it be seasoned with salt so that you may know how to answer everyone. How do we practically tame this fire, this tongue that we have within us? How can we control our tongues and use them for good? The first step is awareness. We have to become aware of our own speech, the patterns that we use. We have to pay attention to the words that we speak, that we use. We have to be aware of the tone of our voice as we're speaking to those around us. We have to be aware of the impact of our words have on each other. Are we quick to criticize? Do we engage in gossip? Are our words encouraging? Or are they discouraging? We need to pray about it. We have to ask God to help us to control this tongue that He has given to us. We need to pray for wisdom. We need to pray for discernment. And we have to pray for the ability to speak truth in love. We need to find someone that we can associate with that will hold us accountable for the words that we speak. We must be intentional about the words that we use. We need to be using our words to build up and encourage each other. We need to look for the opportunities to encourage and offer praise and gratitude. I'm thankful for Jeremy because he does that nearly every Sabbath in Sabbath school. I hear him saying encouraging words. He speaks words of affirmation. And that's what we need to be doing to those around us. Sometimes I think I might be just as well to keep my mouth closed. Because as I worked on this sermon, God was talking to me. Sometimes I think it's best for me not to say anything. Maybe we need to learn to be comfortable with silence and resist the urge to fill every moment with chatter. Proverbs 21:23 reminds us, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps himself from calamity. Before speaking, we should ask ourselves these questions. Is what I'm about to say true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? If the answer to any of those questions is no, then maybe we'd better be quiet and think about what we want to say. And I already said, I admit, I struggle to control my tongue. Don't ask my wife, though. Power of the tongue is undeniable. It can be a force for immense good. But it can also be great destruction. It's a force that can shape our relationships with those around us. It can influence our communities. It can also ultimately impact our eternal destiny. As followers of Christ, we're called to use our tongues to glorify God. We're to build up our brothers and sisters. We're to speak words of truth. We're to speak them in love and encouragement. Let us strive to tame that fire within us and use our words to bring healing to each other. To bring hope and encouragement to those around us. May God grant us the wisdom and the strength to control our tongues. May we use them to build up each other, not to tear down. May we use them to heal and not hurt each other. May we use them to glorify His name in all that we do. Let us remember the words of Matthew. Matthew 12, verse 37. It says, "For by your words you will be acquitted. And by your words you will be condemned." It's a verse we ought to put to memory as we speak these words to those around us. Now, may God grant us the grace and the wisdom that we can use our tongue for His glory. Our closing hymn this morning is hymn number 286, Wonderful Words of Life.